ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to Heroes Asylum, first issue of 2020. We're here once again, guys, to break out the news, talk about our little fantasies about these subjects, and I got Kane here with me. How you doing today, man?
Happy New Year, sir. Good to see you again, or talk to you again once again.
Yes, sir.
Another year, another age wiser. Well, I'll be in a week or so.
That's right. Yeah, this week is your is Kane's birthday week. So,
yay! Happy birthday to me, kids.
Anybody local, I believe he is trying to throw something special this week at weekend. So, if not, there's always the Winchester on Saturday. So,
yep. Come out, say hello, and buy your friendly neighborhood Thanatos Kane a shot.
Yes. Get him going out of there sideways.
Won't be a problem.
No. So this week, man, it's been a little crazy going on. Like one of the big ones, one of the big news this week, and it kind of hits home for you and me and kind of home for the Heroes Asylum. This is what really geared you and me to get one of the things that got you and I really talking about doing this show. But not only just the love of, you know, what our little conversations at the Winchester where we'd have, you know, on a good, nice buzz night, you know, hey, did you read this? Did you see it? And we just start, you know, jamming off and talking about stuff. But you and I were both big fans of Collider Heroes. One of our big, you know, influences was John Schnepp, you know, rest in peace, sweaty. I remember one of the first times I ever met John actually was because of you. You wanted to get a signature from him. I'd never seen the guy. And we, you know, went over and said hi to him, got something for him to sign. One of our friends, Cindy, got a video for you, you know, personal hey from John. Like, and this was only a few months before he passed. It's a big deal. But news came down that the Collider show or the Collider network is shutting down really their news shows. Movie Talk, Collider Live, Heroes, Jedi Council, the things that you and I really like. Dug about them, and that they'll be focused on more on celebrity driven segments. From what it's saying, if anybody's seen the Deep Saga or Deep Fake Saga, sorry, that's been on YouTube lately, then there's one Comic Book Shopping that'll be on there. So, what do you think about this happening, man?
It was shocking, and it really just came out of left field when I heard about it. I kind of heard like some little rumblings over the last couple months of them transitioning programming to instead of doing like the panel shows, which I enjoy a lot. I thought they were very informative. And like you said, it was the very launching point of the Heroes Asylum was Collider Heroes. That was like a template for us. You know, we love Schnepp. We love getting sweaty, as the word would say. And basically our conversations in the Winchester just translated into the Heroes Asylum. That's basically what it was. But it was just a very odd move. And just hearing how it all went down and hearing how they treated the employees who were let go, it just, to me, just very, kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it just, like, I don't get, I mean, I can understand business decisions for what they are. I mean, you know, if you got a business, you got to run it, and you're not making the viewerships, and you're not making the subscriptions, you know, you got to make a choice, and you got to make decisions, hard ones, you know, they come for all of us. I've been in management, you've been in management, so you know how that goes. But it's just, like, the way to just basically take an audience that you built up for 5 years, and they're basically saying, nah, you guys don't count. We're going to do more celebrity-driven stuff, which is clickbait stuff. But that's basically what they're going to do is clickbait.
Yeah.
Just seemed kind of odd.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Actually, almost close to 10 years when you really think a lot of these shows, Movie Talk, started on AMC. I mean, really, the infancy of Collider Network came from some AMC shows and a couple other shows that were scattered around, and they all sort of, you know, teamed up, you know, pulled a big Voltron on us, you know, and teamed up on this great, you know, really cool network. Yeah. I mean, there were a bunch of shows on there that, you know, I loved, you know, they even had I'm trying to remember the wrestling show you introduced me to that they had.
Oh, that was they used to have the Raw and SmackDown weekly recap. They took those off. They have pro wrestling sheets on there still.
Yeah.
With Ryan Satin. He's really good, by the way. So you guys just check that out if you're big wrestling sweaty like I am. He's really informative. He writes for his site, and I think he works for SmackDown too. So he's a pretty knowledgeable guy. But you know, the direction they're going to is just very, very strange.
It is, like you were saying, them cutting off their fandom, just like because I feel alienated by them now. It's like, well, you just it was, you know, yeah, thank you guys for your time here, but you know what, we're gonna change now. It wasn't, hey, you know what, we're gonna take our couple of lowest, you know, listen to shows. We're gonna drop them off now. We're gonna introduce the Comic Book Shopping and then the Deep Fake Saga. We'll introduce them then, like, slowly. But they just, like, like you said, I mean, they just like just let everybody go. And it was literally, if anybody has listened to John Campa, I was been big fan of his as well. He did a big take. I think it was yesterday it got released.
He did it yesterday, and he did one like late at night too, which was just, yeah. He tore them apart.
He spit some venom out. I mean, and he needed to. It was what was needed to be said. Like, literally, these guys were told an hour before it was announced out to the public. It's crazy.
Not even a final show to say goodbye. No, I mean, just like very unceremoniously. Yeah. That, you know, if I mention to you the word Baltimore Colts, I think you'll understand the reference. Yeah. It's basically what Collider did. They did a Baltimore Colts and just basically screwed everybody in the middle of the night. Hey, we're leaving and see you and you're gone. And talented people too. And like you said, and I hate to reemphasize this like I always do, that there is no Heroes of Silent without Collider Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That was it. That was what we watched. Snap and everything, the conversations they had, the joy of talking what they loved. I think we talked about it a lot. I think it was a couple of years ago before the invention of the Asylum, was that you wanted to change direction as far as your life personally goes, because you didn't want to be something you weren't. You wanted to talk about the things you enjoyed and you love talking about, which is stuff like this, which is music. You know, hopefully we'll do something down the road, wrestling. You didn't want to, you know, converge for somebody else. You wanted to be who you are. And, you know, I applaud that. And that's hence why we're here now. And just to see the way Collider is headed is just – it's just kind of tacky. I mean, especially for like the deep fake stuff. Like, I saw the George Lucas stuff. It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
And had over half. It was funny, but like now you're going to keep doing it. It kind of loses its luster after a while. It's just, I don't know about
And I did see the comic book shopping. I think that was with Akoi from Heroes. Those were kind of fun, you know, to watch. But again, it's that weekly or daily thing that you're going to get, you know, with the news, with catching up on what's going on. I'm glad to see some of these guys are starting to land on their feet. I see Roka's out there. He's got a group already started up. They're like jumping big time. I do know I'm drawing a blank on the gentleman's name.
Mark Riley. Roxy's got her own stuff going on.
Yeah, so it looks like they've all sort of like landed on their feet, which I knew they would all just pretty much jump straight into what they were doing anyways, but because you can do it, you know, you can do that cheaply and still have a following. You know, to just turn around and just start, you know, producing things through Facebook and through YouTube. So it's great to see that they're doing it. But it just left me a sour taste in my mouth. I don't even really want to watch.
Oh, I unsubscribed.
Yeah.
Like, after all that, I took the button. I like, nope, no more. That was like the last final nail in the coffin. I mean, when Schnepp died, I was going to unsubscribe, but I was like, you know, let me give these guys a chance. There's still some shows on there and personalities I enjoy. And I rolled with them. But after this, no way. Like, you don't get my support after this. You basically just basically spit in all our faces.
Yeah. That's how I looked at it. Yeah.
So.
But with kind of in that vein, though, I'll just let you guys know kind of behind the scenes what Kane and I have been working on. We are trying to work on actually starting our own sort of network on YouTube this year. It's in its infancy. We threw a couple of shows out. I've dropped a few of our shows that basically it's just like, you know, pictures, but it's our audio show that's out there. So we do have that out there. So check it out. Look at you. Find us on YouTube. It's still under Heroes Asylum, but we're gearing our way up to kind of like, again, this has been a big influence on us, and hopefully, you know, with a hole in this, a new hole out there for content, we'd like to, you know, attempt to try to fill some of those. I mean, that's a big, big hole they left but
mighty big shoes to fill, but,
we'd like to fill a little of it.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, I think that was the first thing I said when I found out about all this news. I was like, you know, I've always talked about, you know, a bullet to like basically catapult the Asylum to somewhere that we haven't gone to yet. And this is sort of like, you know, you hate seeing people lose their jobs. I don't want to see anybody lose their job, because I've been in that position and it sucks, especially losing their job unceremoniously. But on a hindsight of something miserable can be an opportunity as well. And like you said before so eloquently, I hope that we can try and to attempt to fill their shoes. We're going to try, but you know, we're not going to be the same. It's just going to be myself and Captain Mike. And, you know, as always, we always say there's always that third chair just sitting there. Now it's collecting dust, actually. But which is kind of sad. But, you know, hopefully in a couple weeks we'll have some.
We may. You know, and there's future shows that we've talked to other people about. So, you know, there's a chance for more to come. So we're looking forward to that. But, again, just, you know, shout out to the Collider guys. We are big fans. I do know it's a very strange community that we're all part of with the podcasting and the YouTube group. But, you know, we are still part of that same community. And we wish you guys all the best of luck. Indeed. I'm glad to see some of you have landed on your feet and you're starting off great. And, you know, good luck in your future endeavors.
Yeah. And, you know, tweet at the Heroes Asylum, man. We'd love to have you on sometime.
Exactly. So, now my next one, did you have any news that you wanted to drop? I didn't check with you before we started.
I got one piece. It was kind of a slow piece of news week. I actually discovered something like a couple hours ago, and ooh, it's not really news, but, you know, breaking. Me being a Batman sweaty that I am, Jeffrey Wright just arrived in London. He's beginning, I guess, his first days of shooting as Commissioner Gordon. It just basically said on his Twitter page, didn't sleep, got in about 4:45 a.m. for a 10 p.m. call or something like that. So I guess to me, you know, as a Batman sweaty, it confirms that they're actually shooting. So this movie is going to happen. It's no more like it's gonna maybe, or, you know, we got a script. We don't got a script. No, it's happening.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. We got I shared something on Twitter today about with on-set photos with Gotham PD trucks. Oh. So I was like, sweet. I was more interested because I wanted to see when you can see the feel or the time frame based off the vehicles. So that's really what I wanted to look at. I was really excited to see that kind of like that part of the behind the scenes that we don't know yet.
Biggest sweaty part of the those photos was they showed these air blimps. And if you're a big fan of the animated series, those air blimps were a huge part of the background. So that gets me really hyper. I'm like, ooh, because Matt Reeves even said, he's like, the animated series is serving, you know, a little bit of a purpose. And I'm like, finally, like the animated series has been around for almost 25 years?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. About that.
About that time frame. Like, you would think by now somebody would like start cherry picking from the animated series. I mean, the comics are great. They're the background. That's where you get everything from. But I mean, the animated series just took stuff and just added like this different Art Deco noir, like just took it to that next level. I mean,
well, it was based off of Burton. So, I mean, Burton hinted for, you know, influenced that, and then that influenced other things. So it may not be great, but that, you know, with you know, Harley was one of the big ones. Bullock was one of the big ones. So little things have come out of the animated series more than we think because we're so used to it because those things have been part of the lexicon for 25 plus years. You know, you wouldn't have had Bullock really that big of a part in Gotham. We wouldn't be having Harley because Harley was created for that. Even some of the character choices for some of the villains nowadays really stem from the animated series.
Yeah, there was a ton of villains that came from there. I think Clayface was more demonstrative in that series than he ever was in the comics. I think he had a couple issue run, and then like the animated series, they just kind of blew him up, and he was like a well-known character. Dollface, remember Dollface? Yep. One of the most tragic villains, if you've ever seen the animated series, just heartbreaking. And they were able to do this in the world of Batman. And I think, you know, if you can add some of these elements to a live action movie, I mean, my God, I mean, Man-Bat also, I think he was
sort of big in the animated, but I think what they did is the character development they did in the animated lended itself out to the other, because there were certain stories that we didn't see. We didn't see the depth of Dr. Freeze. You know,
in
the comic books, really, animated brought more life into him. There was a couple other characters that brought more life into that. They were there. They were villains. But they gave, I think, some of the backstory that was introduced in the animated series had more of a psychological, you know, undertone. And that that affected them in not just the cartoon, not just the comic books, but also in live action.
I would agree. I mean, one of the best probably it was like a three-parter, maybe a two-parter episode, you know, go figure two-parter, was the origin of Two-Face.
Yes.
Because I knew of Two-Face, but I didn't know of him. I mean, like I said, I was watching at a pretty young age. And like his relationship with Bruce as, you know, as Harvey Dent, they were best buds. They were best friends. You know, hey, I'm going to get married. You're going to be my best man. And you could see the change happening whenever he got a little angry. He's still carrying his father's coin. And then when he just did that switch, by the way, the voice of Two-Face was Richard Mall. If you ever watched Night Court, you know, Richard Mall was, Bull. Great actor as well. Bull. You remember Bull.
I love Bull.
I think he's still around. But that whole arc and just how serious the tone they took it for an animated show, I mean, it won tons of Emmys, and it was so richly deserved. I mean, yeah. The drawing style and the way they made Batman, like, he was intimidating, just hiding in the shadows, and sometimes you wouldn't even see him. You just see his eyes, and it's like, just little things like that. I hope they add to the movie. I don't know if they're cherry-pick some of those stuffs, but it is easy to add things like that, and it's like little nuances. Like, I think I've told you before, I don't like, you know, the big spectacular movies are good, you know, when they're needed and you build up to them, but I always like, you know, the smaller scale movies where you scale back, you develop characters and you see what their motivations are, and then you have Batman in the background, and you don't need to make a, you know, $150 million Batman movie. You just don't need it. You can make a Batman movie for like $30 million, you know, and just, you know, it's all about him, is his nuances. He's Sherlock Holmes. He's figuring stuff out. And for when Matt Reeves is going to do what I've been reading, I'm very hopeful this is going to happen.
Well, it gave me a good hope when you were saying that he had a cast calling for 10 p.m. I was like, okay, they're doing nighttime shooting, so that's that's really cool to see that they're doing that. So I'm looking forward to it. It's again, you and I have talked about this before. I would love to have seen more of Affleck, you know, Ben doing his version of Batman, because I saw. But we're moving on. Things change. Things move on. So you know, we have that. So, and again, speaking of moving on, we looks like we're the outcry is happening from the Phantom Menace. You know, the hate and the spewing has jumped from Last Jedi now to Rise of Skywalker, and now people are clamoring and beating on the doors of Disney. Where is our JJ cut? I think half these people are the same dumbasses that are yelling for their Snyder cuts.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, look, the Snyder Cut is a unique thing. That thing does exist. I think we know. But come on, man. Like now we're going to ask for the JJ Cut. It's going to get to a point where, like, if you don't like a movie being released, they're going to ask, whoa, that was the studio who released it. Yeah. The original director had his own cut. Like,
well, they all do. They all do. That's why in 5 years, you're going to see a director's cut of Star Wars. It's going to be crappy versions, you know, things that didn't get completely post, you know, done through the full post production. You know, we'll see that on everything. I love that they're like having to strap a name on it now. It's like, guys, it just used to be the director's cut DVD. It'd come out, we'd watch it. Awesome, man, that was fun. You know, that what was the one for what was the one that you love for Batman versus Superman, the extended
ultimate cut.
Yeah. You know, it's like things like that are out there. You know, to me, I think like when it comes to movies that have a ultimate cut or a special edition, look at like Superman 2, the Donner edition. Now that one deserved to be coming out, you know, because he got screwed halfway through the making of these movies. And so his stuff was out there. But when you really watch it, I don't know if you've ever watched the Donner cut.
Oh yeah,
it's really bad. I mean, it's fun to watch, but it's really bad. That's why I don't think these versions coming out, when they come out, they're not going to look as great as we want them to. And again, it's not going to make people happy. Half that group out there that's screaming for these JJ cuts, when they see it, they're like, "Well, that's not what I would have done." What, there's another version out there that JJ didn't touch; somebody else did. So, you know.
Yeah, it's strange because, you know, I'm one of those guys. I did not like The Rise of Skywalker. There were some things that I liked, but overall, I just didn't like it. But, you know, that's the way the movie was shot. I mean, there's nothing I can say like, hey, man, no, make another version of it so I like it. No, it's not going to happen. I mean, that's the way that JJ and the studio agreed the movie would be released. It was released that way. If there's another stuff cut or the JJ cut that they claim is out there, then, you know, maybe down the line release it as the director's cut, and then we'll go from there. Maybe it'll explain a lot of things that need to be explained, but, you know,
maybe, yeah. I think a lot of your unexplainable stuff, like I think you and I talked to last show, like with that comic book, the Kylo Ren thing. I think especially with Star Wars, because Star Wars truly exists. I'd say 20% of Star Wars really exists, maybe 30% really exists in the expanded universe, and I think that's where we're going to get those plot holes. I've come to that conclusion back in the 90s. Just those are things that we're going to accept it. If you really want to know more about that thing, read about it or check it out on the, you know, Disney Plus whenever they, you know, if they roll something out.
I would agree with you 100%. Hopefully they'll do a series on how the Emperor came back, but, you know, we'll see.
Next one, Skywalker. Since we're talking about Skywalker, they dropped 53% over the weekend, but still topping at $900 million. So it's gonna make the mark as the third grossing movie of 2019, behind obviously the Avengers, and then came in second place was Lion King. So still everybody's screaming, you know, fail. It's not making its mark. It didn't make its mark based off of who's the gentleman? I can never remember his name. He worked for Forbes. He's the one that always does like the estimated amount it should be making.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
I cannot remember his name. The life of me.
I can't think of his name right now.
But you're right. Yeah, I mean, and he's usually spot on. You know, with hey, you know, it should make this and it doesn't, and that's when people start screaming. You know, didn't hit the budget, but you're making a great movie, $900 million. And it came in third place. I mean, and again, you're going against Avengers Endgame, a 10-year run, perfect run, really, when you boil it down to it. There are a couple of trips and falls, but you're talking about a perfect end of a story. Basically, this is the end of a book. I know you and I talked about the Spider-Man being kind of like the prologue to the Endgame or to the whole Avengers series. And I think that's just it. And I think it was the fact you had everybody's attention, you know, captured for 10 years. Star Wars is one of those hits, hit or miss. It's lost fans. It's got new fans. It's back and forth. I think there's a smaller group of people like us that have been there from the beginning and have held on to the whole time. Because I think we've lost people that just are like, oh, okay, that's something for kids, you know, and then there's the new fans that weren't there from the beginning. So our group is pretty small. And, so I definitely expected a drop off. And then, of course, after the outcry from the Phantom Menace post Last Jedi, I think it had a big influence on that as well.
It's crazy to think about, like, this movie is going to make $1 billion. Oh, I think it's rest assured it's at $990 million. It's going to make over a billion. And the crazy thing about it, out of all of the OG series and the prequels, this trilogy, each movie will have made over $1 billion. Not even the OG series nor the prequels did that.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I mean, you can adjust for inflation, whatever you want to do like that, but that's the crazy thing. Each of these films made dough.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, based on the past. I mean, that's basically, you know, and hopefully in some of the movies were good, you know, you can, you know, argue with me which was good or which wasn't. But I think the main thing with Star Wars, and you could see it with when The Force Awakens was released, the line when we went there, I think if you look back at my Facebook page and your Facebook page, we took a picture of the line that night. And it was insane because Star Wars has always been one of those movies that it's an event.
Yeah.
When it comes out, oh, damn, Star Wars is coming out. Let's all go. It doesn't matter what age you are. It's an event film. And it had that. And like, oh, cool. And I think what's happened recently with, you know, with Solo and Rogue One and, you know, now the Mandalorian – yes, they're expanding the universe, and I'm glad they are, but the movie universe has kind of lost that luster. It's kind of lost that epic, you know, oh my God, Star Wars is coming out. And now it's basically, okay, it's getting to the point where, well, it's just another movie, another trilogy.
Well, I also sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was going to finish by saying it lost its luster. It's not quite there. And with all the new content coming out, I think, especially on Disney Plus, it's going to enrich that series. So eventually down the road, when you do release the movies, it's going to get back that luster it kind of lost. Like if you have like 4 or 5 seasons of The Mandalorian and you're like, yeah, hey, we're going to release a Mandalorian movie and make it more epic in scale. That could get like, oh, damn, you know, I've seen this series since the beginning and now you're adding this. It could have that feel, maybe not quite as the OG series or this recent trilogy, but you got to build Star Wars back up to what it was. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be very, very hard. But I think with the streaming series right now, you can do it in different ways, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think they'll ever recapture that. That's something, different culture, different society at the time. And I think that's also one of the things with this movie compared to, I mean, if you really look at even the Last Jedi, the society has changed a little bit. Everybody is a very streaming, stay home, I'll wait right now. There's not a lot of people wanting to go out. It's very funny that we're in a social culture right now, that because there's all this social media, but we're really not that social when it comes to like going out. I have so many people who are like, no, I'll wait till it comes out. Yeah, No problem. I'll sit on my couch and watch it. And these are some diehard fans I know, like people I work with, that they're like, yeah, no, I like it. But I'm just going to wait. I'm like, but you're not. To me, it's like, you know, you get out and support it, you have fun with it. And that just surprises me that people are doing that. And I'm not saying that that's a major factor in their drop at all. Please don't. And nobody think that. Don't attack me on that one, because I don't think that group is that large, but I do think it has an impact on what you were saying about the movie going experience. We no longer do that. Now we can call up, get on our phones, order our tickets online, pick our seats, so I don't have to wait in line. And now I can show up 20 minutes early just to run in and, you know, get a line at the concession stand and then run and get to my seat where I know nobody's going to be sitting where I'm going to be sitting. You know, that's part of the fun is gone. Yes, it's convenient. It's really cool. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that I can go, oh, that's where I'm going to be sitting. I know exactly what my seat is. But you lose that camaraderie. You and I are in that age. I don't know if you ever did it. I did it, before, you know, anybody out there. If you guys know who Ticketmaster is, you can buy your tickets online, but it used to be to buy your tickets, you would wait over line. You would sit out overnight in this line with tents to go pick up your tickets for the show that's, you know, 2-3 months down the road. And that was camaraderie. That was what I met, some really cool people and a couple of friends doing that. I mean, I remember I was been in a band at the time. We ran home, grabbed our stuff, and started jamming out in the mall parking lot because we had another, what, I think it was 2 a.m. We had another 8 hours before the ticket line even opened up.
You miss that camaraderie.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, yeah. Like you just said, it's like, and then you build stories from there as well. I mean, I could tell you stories when I was waiting for tickets to go see Depeche Mode from their 1998 to 2001 singles tour. And I waited in line with my brother, and we were in line, I think, at 6 at night to about 1 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the doors to open. They finally opened, and we were talking to fellow Mode fans on there. Oh, what's your favorite song? Oh, you seen this last tour? Oh, yeah, they were great. Like, what do you think about this guy coming back from drug addiction? Because at the time, the singer of Depeche Mode, he was coming back from a heavy drug addiction, so we didn't know how he was going to act as a live stage, you know, presence. And then it's just stuff like that you don't have anymore.
No.
Now everything nowadays is very pre-programmed. I mean, like you said, it is great. I love going to movie theater, know where I'm sitting, and I could be there I could be there an hour late, but that's my seat. Doesn't matter. You know, I paid for it. And now everything is like very pre-programmed. It's like it's good on one side, but on the other side, you miss that camaraderie.
Yeah.
You miss as far back as The Force Awakens, when we were sitting in line waiting. We're sitting there talking to our friend, just BSing around. Oh, remember when Star Wars came out this year? Where were you at? Oh, yeah. What do you think about your favorite scene? It's like just stuff like that is lacking severely. And hopefully it'll come back going forward, because I do miss those things. And
yeah,
that's one of the things when I go to the Winchester, especially on Saturday night, I love doing, conversating with people like, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know. Before I get annihilated, but after that, there's more talking.
But I think that's the reason why we'll never see those events and that madness of excitement that we saw, obviously, with the original trilogy. Also, then with the prequel trilogy, and then, of course, the beginning of this one, we had that excitement, that groundswell of excitement. I think because of missing out on those things, those fun events. And yes, kids, we were talking about two old men sitting here reminiscing about back in the day. But that was something that was there, and it's, you know, it is something that we miss. I do know, you know, the a lot of the town centers and things like that around, you know, we'll now do like live movies out, you know, movie in the park at night and stuff. You know, so there is that kind of camaraderie now, but for something new that we've never seen, and there's just the electricity, that's the only way I can describe it, was just this electricity getting into it. So not only are you excited because you're talking to the fans, you're excited because you've been waiting years to see this, and now you're sitting down, and then, you know, the fanfare of the movie starts, and the orchestra, just all of that just combined was just always amazing, and that's where we reminisce, I guess, on that.
Yeah, it added to the spectacle of the whole thing. Yeah. Like, you were looking forward to it, like, oh, and everybody else was too. Nowadays, it's like, and I hate to say it, as much as I love The Last Jedi, and I love it, I will fight for that movie to the end of time, and Rian Johnson is the only guy in this trilogy who took risks, and people hated him for it. And seeing how much people are like back on Rian Johnson's side,
I know, it's
kind of funny. It's just almost comical.
Yeah,
it's freaking comical.
Now, speaking of risks, the rumor that dropped, this actually came from Kathleen Kennedy during an interview. I tried to find the exact date of when this happened, but it was a recent interview. The rumors for the next Star Wars films, you know, now that we are done with this, the Skywalker saga, the family is over, they're looking to expand. And they, you know, definitely Mandalorian was a big part of their expanse of, you know, trying to do something different. And it succeeded. And, you know, groundswell came out of nowhere. I know people at my job that have never seen a Star Wars movie and they love The Mandalorian are now can't wait to start watching Star Wars movies. They want to, like, they're like, well, where should I start? What should I do? And, you know, and I was like, okay, I have to build you a plan. it's kind of funny, but
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
But it's great that this product, this story of basically, like, we've already talked about it a bunch of times. You know, it was an old Western story with a new coat of paint on it, you know, taking place in a galaxy far, far away, that this little thing. And of course, the child has helped tremendously, to draw in the all crowd, you know,
and the words of Robert De Niro, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just helped a little bit.
And it, you know, so I think that's a big swell. But now the rumor is now that they're looking at starting a new series of movies, of films. And now these, from my understanding, what was said was that these will not be a trilogy, but a series of films that are intertied, which they're called, you know, they're just maybe not three, maybe there'll be five movies. Maybe it'll be very similar to the Avengers, because if you know, knowing Disney, they saw what happened there. But apparently this is supposed to, they're looking to gear it towards 400 years BBY. So anybody out there before Yavin, Yavin was the first Star Wars movie. So it'll take place 400 years before A New Hope. And within that 400 years, we will still have a young Yoda. By then, he should only be 500 years old. So nice spry. Maybe he'll have a goatee or something, wearing a Soundgarden t-shirt or something. I don't know. but then they're talking, and this one threw me off. And that's why I think you and I need to discuss this one. They're talking that the main villain would be Darth Bane in this, and that kind of threw me off a little, because this is Legends, and the trick with Darth Bane is he was created during the Phantom Menace because they needed like a backstory of the Rule of Two, and he was created, but he was created in the Legends series, and that was supposed to be 1,000 years beforehand. And he's the one that created the Rule of Two and did all this, him, Darth Bane, and Revan. And that was supposed to, but with Legends being killed off, it doesn't exist anymore. And he really wasn't mentioned when it comes to the Phantom Menace. He was just created during the making of Phantom Menace because they needed a backstory.
Yeah, and he was created in the Clone Wars series. Like, he's mentioned, I think it was like during a two-parter where Yoda actually goes to Morban and he sees the ghost of Bane, and he basically says, Darth Bane, the one who created the Rule of Two.
Right.
That's basically the only mention that you got of him. And for him to be involved in this series, if they want to create a new lore, they just got to be careful where they're going to put him.
You know, well, like I said, 400 years beforehand. So that's the trick, because then that puts the Sith around people that would remember the Sith. So them being a surprise in the prequels wouldn't be there, because then Yoda, Yoda, a 500-year-old Yoda, would go, oh, no, I've dealt with them already before. You know, but that could also explain Yoda's ability to push back the lightning. You know, that there were certain things that Yoda knew how to do to, fighting against the Sith.
Oh, I think the premise itself, especially with Yoda being involved, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It just depends how you do it. I mean, like you just, like, so eloquently said again, I love saying that word eloquently, by the way, that he's able to knock back that force lightning, because nobody could knock back that force lightning. Not Vader, not Luke, not even Rey, not even Kylo Ren.
That was like one of my first ones. I was like, how does he know how to do that? When that happened, I was like, how does he know not only to deflect it, but to keep it and then send it back out? I was like, how's that little green shit know how to do that? He shouldn't know how to do that, because he's never dealt with a Sith, but this could be a reconning in a way, because again, anything with Bane was Legends. We haven't had anything Bane since then. I know you're a Knights of the Old Republic, fan, and I think, would you prefer to see Bane now at the 400 year mark, or more back in the 1,000 year mark to be more Knights of Old Republic?
Now you're playing with time, and I think the further back you go, the less lore you have to be attached to. So yes. I guess my answer would be 1,000, because the more back you go, like I just said, the further attached you are to what's going on. And just go back as far as you can. Hell, even throw some remnants of Revan in there if you want to. Attach Revan and Bane. I mean, they're not connected, but if you're going to create this new lore, why not? You know, Revan, Bane. I mean, you could even have a story, a concept. You know, I was thinking about this, that you could have, like, you know, why was the Rule of Two created? Maybe Revan was training Bane. You could do something like that. And, you know, Revan wanted Bane to kill him, and Bane was like, no. Or I don't know. There's just a lot of things you could do. Just ideas throwing out there, because most of the movies nowadays, they cherry pick from legends, you know. And if you're going to go back that far and not use the extended universe basically as only a template, then why not create your own lore? And you're going so far back that you're making new history. And I think that's one of the things that gets me excited with Star Wars. You're not relying on a Skywalker saga. I love the Skywalkers. They have been, you know, integral for 9 films. But let's put them to rest. You know, I don't want to, you know, beat up a dead horse. We're going to bring up football real quick, kids. But Tom Brady. We love Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He's going to have his own shrine. But there comes a moment in time where you have to let it go and say, hey, man, thank you for everything you've done. But it's time for you to walk across the sunset, sit down, put your cowboy hat on, and let everybody else take over. And I think that's what Star Wars, it's the same thing you got to do. Skywalkers are gone. Let's do something different, something bold. Go back, recreate it again, reimagine it again. I'll give you a little quote. I don't know if you remember this or not. U2, when they created their, when they did the Joshua Tree tour, they had toured for like 2 or 3 years. Everybody was getting kind of sick and tired of the U2 sound. They were very preachy. And during one of the live concerts, Bono said, hey, we're going to go away for a while. And everybody thought they were breaking up. They weren't breaking up. They were going back to reinvent themselves. And they released Octoon Baby, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. And I think that's what Star Wars has to do right now. They have to reinvent themselves, reinvigorate the entire brand to make it like, oh, wow, we're going back here? I didn't know that about the Sith. You can find out so much lore and, you know, have like the 500-year-old, you know, goatee wearing Nirvana t-shirt wearing Yoda. I mean, come on. I mean, that there's story right there waiting to happen.
Yeah.
If they do this, man, I will sign up. I mean, I'm going to sign up regardless, but it just makes so much sense. But you got to go back further in time. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I was asking you. The 400 years, you think is a good time? I mean, obviously, they're going to at least need a grounding point, and Yoda would be a good grounding point. That's a familiarity to us. Nobody else is going to be around. So, you know, you're going to have a familiarity of, oh, that's Yoda. We know who Yoda is. He's our safety zone, you know. Maybe, in fact, it's an old, you know, scribe, you know, an old journal or something that somebody's discovered of Yoda, you know, and he's talking about Bane and talking about 400 years. So maybe, you know, that's where they discover. Maybe they discover a Jedi holocron, you know, something to lead and say, hey, this is what happened back then, and this is where the Sith, last we saw of the Sith kind of thing. So
yeah, you could do that. Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, definitely
you basically mapped out a series. So.
Yeah. So let me. I'm excited. I think with what they've been doing is something a little different. With, you know, like I said, The Mandalorian. We still have Cassian Andor to come down the pike. We still have Obi-Wan's coming down the pike. So we definitely have all of those happening right now. You know, that are coming down, and I think those all are the good starting point. We, George and JJ and Ryan, and they've all laid a firm foundation for amazing stories to come forward. And like I said, The Mandalorian is probably one of the first steps. And that was just a shot in the dark for them. They're like, let's give it a shot, and if it works, and it worked, and it's proof. They can do a story without a Skywalker, without a Solo, even without a Jedi. I mean, yes, the child is a Jedi. He does have those abilities, but he's not reliant on him.
Or is he a Jedi?
Well, he's Force sensitive. Let me rephrase that. Sorry about that. Sorry, that was a faux pas on my part. Yeah, no, he is Force sensitive. Okay. So again, we don't need a Force user, because really the story, he's part of the story, but the real story is about Mandalorian. That's something that, you know, they can do, and it very reminiscent to me. And again, I think I talked about this months and months ago. I'm a huge, huge Firefly fan, and that's one thing that brought me into Mandalorian. I was like, because I love the Western feel with the sci-fi feel on top of that. And that just made me, you know, gave me my warm fuzzies for Firefly again, was to watch, watching Mandalorian.
Oh man, that's, I agree with you 100% because I liked Firefly and Serenity, that movie, by the way, which introduced us to Chiwetel Ejiofor, by the way, as the lieutenant, I believe. He was a great villain, but I always thought, like, with the Mandalorian series going on right now, you know, set in this vein, I don't know if they'll do it. They'll never do it, but, you know, maybe have, like, him in the cantina bar, have, like, you know, Nathan Fillion in there, and he passes by the Mandalorian, and he's basically the same character from Firefly. That would be, like, a nice little nod. I don't think they'll do that. I mean, that's a deep sweat thing for us sweaties, but it'd be kind of cool to see, because he kind of fits in that
world.
You have
had Serenity out there. Serenity was I think it was the prequels that they were seen.
Yeah.
They were flying by in the city of Coruscant. So what do you think more could happen? I mean, what more would you like to see? I know, like I said, we've talked, you know, to death about the Knights of the Old Republic, but what more would you like to see? I mean, we got, like I said, we got Cassian coming, Obi-Wan coming, and for some reason I keep putting a third one in my head, and I think I might be just wrong. I think I just might be fantasizing. But I mean, we at least have those two series, you know, coming. What would you like to see?
An Underworld series.
Underworld
series. I think it was 13. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Created.
What was it? Yeah.
They were created many moons ago. It was going to be on ABC television. I think they didn't do it because of money and all that stuff. But I think there was like over 30, or I think it was over 60 episodes that were written. I mean, they're out. Those scripts are out there. You don't have to use the same scripts, but just the underworld. I mean, I love the Jedi and the Sith Lord. That gets me going. But the underworld of Star Wars is equally as good as the Jedi Lord and Sith.
Do you not think it would be more in the vein of Mandalorian? Because it is. Mandalorian is underworld.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they've mentioned some underworld stuff, but I'm talking about like deep underworld. Like, you want to go to the world, like Coruscant's still around, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Because at the end of Jedi, or not Jedi, sorry, Rise of Skywalker.
They
went to Coruscant, yeah.
So I would love to see an Underworld series. I mean, yeah, we have the Mandalorian, but Mandalorian is basically like a Western. I'm talking like a straight like gangster series, like just Underworld. Like,
I'd love to see them go in.
Goodfellas, like just think of like that, or The Irishman I just saw recently, which is way too long, but it is still a good movie. Yes, yes, Captain Mike, it is still exactly like every other Scorsese movie. I agree with you, but like in that vein, but with Star Wars, oh.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, there's a lot of things you can imagine, like a Jabba the Hutt guy, like this one dude doesn't pay him off and he has this one dude like rip his head off or something like that. Just, I don't know, just something crazy like that.
You know what? You don't want the continuing adventures of Zero?
Mike, don't ever bring up that name again.
Sorry about that, guys. That's a sore subject.
Hey, what's going on? I'm from the South. I'm Zero. Dude. You talk about, you know, people don't talk about that enough. Like, they talk about Jar Jar being a mistake. Nobody mentions Zero the Hutt in that same vein. He was a horrible, horrible mistake. Ugh.
What I would love to see, though, it would kind of go in the same vein as you, the underworld, but I would love to see the continuing adventures of Kira. There's already an established character to go off of, because it all ended
abruptly. Those, because he's basically in the underworld. Why not just do them both?
I would love to see, I would love to see in Mandalorian, hopefully, I don't know what the next season holds for them. But I would love to see where he has to go to the core worlds and has to interact with her, and Maul's dead by now anyways. But, you know, at least maybe see what happened to her and see the kind of the continuing, because they just kind of dropped it. I know there's talk. There's, you know, thinking maybe doing another solo one, you know, or maybe taking it into the Disney Plus. Well,
don't do another.
It'd be okay if they just did it like Disney Plus, threw it into Disney Plus, you know, just kind of continuation of what's going on. I'd really like to see that. But other than that, I mean, I really don't know, because I was really happy with Rebels and Clone Wars. They really opened up the world a lot more to me. So there's, seeing something in the past, which, you know, looks like we might be getting with this rumored movie, which, by the way, was the Benioff and Weiss project. So that this was the project they were working on until they got that lucrative deal from Netflix.
Yeah, what are they doing over there? They're doing some kind of World of Warcraft, or
something like that. I didn't read the whole thing on them. I'm waiting to see how Netflix does, because they need to recover. They're getting their butts beat a little bit here.
yeah, but they're still holding steady. You know, The Witcher was a good series. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I don't think we're gonna do a review of The Witcher, but, you know, just saying, like, the first two episodes, if you guys haven't seen it yet, the first two episodes are very, very, I'll just say methodically slow. But after that, it turns it up and it turns into a series. And it's one of those series that kind of intertwines, I would say, three characters, if I'm correct.
Main three characters. Yeah, you have main three characters in there.
And you don't think they intertwine, but they do. And it makes sense when it happens. Yeah. And there's a story there. And, you know, Henry Cavill, you know, I'll miss him as Superman, but damn, he could make a career as The Witcher.
Oh, yeah, he could, definitely. Really could. Yeah, they're talking a couple more seasons with him. And if anybody's out there looking at it, thinking about doing it, like Kane just said, it is a slow build at the beginning, but give yourself some time. Our rule here in Heroes is always give it a five watch. Give it the five count. I literally watched the first two and I walked away. And then I went back a couple of days later. It's like, I keep hearing these great reviews. I don't see it. Let me do it again. And I went ahead and I finished the last three and I was hooked. Like, I was hooked. And I'm not a big binger. I like to get my shows, you know, a little bit at a time because it adds to the suspense. It adds to the wonder of what's going to happen to these characters. But with this one, yeah, no, I binged it. I had to. I was like, oh my God, what's happening next? And I was not disappointed in the least. So yeah, definitely give it a little bit more time. Don't give up after two.
Yeah, don't give up. Because especially like I almost gave up. And I had to text you. I was like, I'm giving up. And you're like, no, just watch it. One more episode. And the third one, I was like, okay, now I see what we're doing. So. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that's all the news that I kind of had. I mean, we kind of broke down some things trying a little new format too, guys. We're trying to get more conversational on this. So let us know what you guys think about kind of what we're trying to do here. But we're going to still do our normal reads. So I'm going to jump over. We're going to exit the admissions ward and we're going to jump into our legend segment. So hold on, folks. So, Legends segment. I only have two. I know you said you didn't get a chance to read anything yet.
No, not for 2020. Not yet. I've been busy doing some other Asylum stuff. But what do you got?
What I have, actually two of them I read. I actually read three, but I've enforced that you guys need to read X-Men. You need to read the new series.
I agree.
I picked up X-Men number 4. Still a continuation. Great. That book, actually, I guess I'll talk to him about it a little bit. But yeah, it's basically like a meeting of these different governments. Yeah, you have Wakanda, you have Krakoan, you have the Americans, and you have a couple other countries. I don't know who they were. And it's not so much a meeting of like the United Nations, but it's just a small meeting. And it's just great to see Xavier, to see Magneto, to see Apocalypse in a suit. And they sit down to this dinner and just Magneto breaks it down. He's like, yeah, I was this way before, but I'm just going to let you know we're here. We're going to win our side and there won't be a war. This is what we're going to do to assure that there is no war, but we're still going to win. And it was just like cold, calculating Magneto, but in a cool, calm way. And you just see that there are still people out there that are fighting against the mutants. So again, check it out. Kane, I know you wanted to say something about it, so man, go ahead.
I think, well, basically, I'm going to mention the conversation because I've read the first three. I haven't read this newest one. Actually, Comixology, thank you very much for making me catch up. And I'm basically just going to reemphasize a conversation we had many weeks ago that, you know, Marvel now owns the rights to the X-Men films. And I think the vein that they should go as far as introing the X-Men should be this comic because it's very modernized. The thing about it, what you don't realize with this comic, kids, is that this comic is a more modern take on the X-Men that they should use going forward. Now, it's going to be a little bit of a shock to some people like, oh, Professor X is not in the wheelchair. Oh, Magneto's not from this place. Oh, yes, there's going to be a lot of gut punches. But I think going forward, the story itself, it makes more sense for what the MCU is doing. And I think when I told you this, I think you were the one who turned me onto it. It was like, it makes a lot of sense. And the comic is so good. It's a refresh. It's a refresh. And because it's not the same downtrodden X-Men that we've been used to over and over again, you know, the Brotherhood and the X-Men and like, hey, Charles, I hate you. Eric, I love you. Like, but we still fight. No, this is more of a modern take. It still has those same things of the past that you love, but it kind of amps them up a little bit. So I would reemphasize, kids, get this series. It's really, really good. And if you read it, you can tell that this is going to fit into the MCU going forward if they go that route.
Yeah, the book starts off with Power of X and then the House of X. Sorry, Power of 10 and then the House of X. But then they branch out into five books. I don't read all of them. X-Men I read. Excalibur I read. And just threw a blank on it. The one with Kitty Pryde, I've been a big fan of. But there's a couple other ones. The Marauders, I'm not a big fan on. And I'm sorry, I take that back. It's the Marauders I do like. It's another one I'm not a big fan on. It's just some of the artwork's a little weird, but it's been a great read. And just catch up. Do the Power of 10 and the House of X. Read those. Then you can go out and look at the different books that are out there and follow the characters you like. They do somewhat intermingle, but for the most part, it's a good read.
I agree.
Next one I have, Hawkeye, number one, Free Fall. I think you might like this one. When I was reading it, it's a pretty interesting one. Hawkeye, you know, he's going around, he's doing his stuff, he's helping out where he can. He is still part of the Avengers, but he's still kind of underground, working in the streets, like just a standard superhero. You know, he's not powerful, he doesn't have a cool suit or anything. He's just Hawkeye with his bow and arrows. But what happens is a new Ronin shows up in the city and is starting to cause some trouble for him. So he has to meet up with Bucky and Falcon, and it's kind of fun to see that them working together, because then you get to see what's going to happen, you know, probably, you know, down the road with the television series or the streaming service. But it's really interesting that, you know, he's like, hey, I know the people that had worn my suit before. I know the individuals that wore the Ronin suit, that, you know, and they start listing off the names of the old ones. He's like, but none of them are involved in this type of situation. And you get to see them confront this new Ronin. It's a small series. I want to say it's about four books long, but I think it looks fun. It's Hawkeye Free Falling just came out.
Check that out.
Yeah, and if anybody,
when did it come out? This past week or
the first? Yeah, these I'm giving you are, it came out January 1st. And then the last one I have, Star Wars number one. They're just starting a brand new series on Star Wars. This one's kind of cool. It's the original. It's taking place during the original trilogy. But this is post-Empire. And when I say post-Empire, I literally mean minutes after Empire. Luke sitting in that little chair by the hologram chess thing with that little contraption on his hand, or what used to be his hand. They're trying to evade the Empire, and it just picks up right after that. You are introduced and see Poe Dameron's parents, which I thought was kind of cool. And it wasn't like a hard, like, hey, no, here's Poe's parents. No, it was just a very subtle, oh, what's Dameron doing? Oh, he's looking out there. His wife's out there fighting one of the A-Wings. Poe's mom, it was an A-Wing pilot. So you just see that really quick little interaction. That's it. It's not like a force. Hey, you know, this is what's, you know, trying to push the new trilogy more. But the rest of it, it all takes place just directly after Empire. And that's what this series is going to be, is what happened during that time frame between Empire to Return, which we all want to know. Luke trained a little bit more. He had, you know, right now in this book, he's dealing with the fact that Obi-Wan abandoned him. Yoda's not talking to him, and he just found out, you know, the big awful truth about his dad and about Vader. And he's alone, and he's dealing with this, and he's having basically a little post-traumatic stress during this. Where all he keeps flashing back is Vader saying his name and his hand getting chopped off.
Comics always add to the lore of Star Wars, especially in those in-between periods. You know, the novels did back in the EU days. But, you know, especially after the prequels, they added a lot of comics that I, you know, a couple of ones that I read. Some were good, some weren't. But the writers of those comics always add, like, you know, if they mess up in the movies, like, oh, that was kind of stupid. The comics will always add something like, well, this is why this happened, yeah, because of that happened. They always add that little nuance, and I'm going to look forward to reading this one. So
yeah, and it's great because, I mean, honestly, to me, there wasn't anything missing between Empire and Jedi. Like, I mean, it would have been cool to know that he got trained, but we know he got trained. We saw that he got trained. You know, we saw in his appearance, in his presentation, in Return. that he got trained. That's why I always laughed about people that were like, well, I never saw Leia get trained, or how did Rey do this in between these movies? Well, we never saw Luke get fully trained between Return or from Empire to Return. So why do we need to see it with everybody else? We just assumed Luke got trained because he showed up in a black suit. Okay. He looked like a badass.
Very Sith-like, by the way.
Yeah, very extremely Sith-like. But So, I mean, and that's the thing. This is a time I'm not needing a story, but it's cool that they're doing it. And it's, and it look, I like the fact that they threw Poe in there, or the Dameron family in there, because I do know that Luke were very close. So maybe this will be a building of how they were close. This is a good tie in to say, to connect that thread. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was really interesting, especially because now, you know, even between, because this takes place from the very time that they left Cloud City, and we haven't even gotten up to the point where we see Lando and Chewie leave. So this is happening in between those, that moment as well.
Oh,
so we're watching Leia and Chewie in the Republic, or the Rebellion, yell at Lando. They still don't trust Lando, but from when he left Cloud City to the very end before the credits dropped, they were all buddy buddy. So we're watching we're watching that in between before that very last moment in Empire right now. So I think that's kind of cool, because they're like, Leia's like, well, you know, what you did is wrong, and right now you're a guest of the Rebellion. She wasn't even like, you're a part of it. No, you are now a guest. So I thought that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, to actually see that, you know, how he's going to develop to actually get to the point where he becomes Kyle Ritzy.
Well, also to see where he becomes trusted enough to leave with Chewie and the Millennium Falcon to go get Han. What happens? Because last we saw, when they left Bespin, Chewie wanted to choke him out. And now in the very last scene, we see, you know, Luke getting his hand, you know, replaced, and then they're all leaving buddy buddy, and he's raided Han's closet. That's the last we see. You know, so this is kind of cool. It's gonna
finally got on board with that, by the way.
Well, I told you, I know, I agreed with you. He raided Han's closet. He had to. He left everything. All he had was that blue shirt and those black pants. He didn't have any clothes.
That was the funniest thing. I think I saw a fellow YouTuber. His name was Nostalgia Critic, and he was reviewing that movie, Return of the Jedi, and he's like, how come Lando was wearing the same clothes that Han Solo was wearing? He's like, did he go to his closet? I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. He probably did. You know, he didn't have those capes in there anymore. No. So.
But I think it's a good book. So hopefully what they'll do is they'll catch up to the point where Lando and Chewie leave from the Millennium Falcon, and then they pick up more. So like I said, right now we're just dealing with the direct after effect of from Cloud City. So, but it looks like a good read, and they were saying they'll, because it's starting the new year, this is their big story for Star Wars. They'll have a couple more books, I'm sure, but you know, I do know they're starting the new Dr. Aphra one, which I thought was crazy. They just got done doing the other series, and that was only like 30 books. And they're like, oh, we're canceling this one, but next year we're going to start a brand new one. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Just continue, you know, change the story. Do what Superman and Batman have done. You know, they've just now hit 1,000, you know, on their books. You know, they're over 1,000. Just change, but keep the numbers going.
That's what I always said. Keep that numerical thing going. I think it's special. I mean, I never bought DC issue number 1,000, but you know, it's always nice when you pick up like issue like 1,032, because it just proves like, oh man, these guys have been around for a long time. Wonder what issue one can cost. Like,
yeah,
costs a lot, kids. Trust me, I've looked it up. It costs a lot.
Exactly. But that is it for me. That's all I have for you guys. You know, first week, not even the full week of the new year. Hope everything's going great for you guys. But again, like I said, this year, big changes are coming. We have been talking. We're getting ready. We're only about a month and a half away from hitting our year mark, but new things are coming for us. We're working on trying to start some video products, hit out on YouTube, get more involved on a full daily basis, because, you know, Kane and I, unfortunately, both have day and night jobs. So we're going to try to find a way to balance that out for that. But again, we've got our Comic-Con coming up this year. We're looking at adding a couple of more. So they're kicking around some new ideas. But again, it's all about what you guys are looking for. Let us know the feeds out there on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know more and more about, you know, what you guys want to hear us talking about. Any movies. We do our starting our movie review soon. Kane said, putting his foot down finally.
Yep, I am putting my foot down.
And I downloaded that movie today, by the way. So we we are good to go. I have that ready to go and watch. So we can we're gonna definitely do the Flash Gordon 1980 movie. So
cue up the Queen soundtrack because it's gonna be really fun. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and none of you voted for it last year. It was always in the top three, top four, top five. Never quite made it. Some people didn't want to do it, which I understood. But at the beginning of the year, as I change my age once again, and by the way, I'm aging gracefully like fine wine, we're doing Flash Gordon. And we're going to start something else this year, Mike, which I think you want to talk about on the movie reviews, which is part of the, I guess we can call it the Avengers Initiative.
Yes. Yeah, we are going to start once a month. We will be watching a Marvel movie. We're not going to conquer all of them. We'd love to. But that's a lot. So what we've done is Kane and I sat down and we did a breakdown. We're going to go by chronologically from the time in the movie, not by the time it was released, but by the time in the movie. So obviously, first one we're going to start with Captain America, the first Avenger. And we're going to do the important movies. When we sat down and really did, we dissected these for probably a good hour. What movie was, well, it felt longer with that, with the shots, but what movie was important? What movie was important? Did this movie have an important moment in it? You know, other than the end credit scene. But, and that was a big toss up, like the Thor one, or the Thor movies. We kind of got a little loud at each other because we were like, I don't know, man. So what we're going to do is we're going to do one of them. Going to continue with the Midnight Movie Show or movies, but we're also going to do the Avengers and end the year with a bang or a snap, I guess you could say.
Yeah, might be the snap. That might be more. Or the blip.
The blip. <Boo. laughs> What the hell is that? So, guys, that is what we're going to be doing for you. So, a lot to look forward to this year. And again, can't stress it enough. Thank you guys out there on our Facebook page. Thank you guys who are downloading and listening to us. Continue to listen, continue to subscribe. And if you're listening and you're not on the Facebook page, join in, get to know these folks. Great group of friends out there that are part of that. And it's a good community. They're all over the country. Also vice versa. I'm sure you guys on the Facebook page won't hear this, but you know, hey, if you're on Facebook, make sure you guys are checking out the podcast.
Yes. Check it out, man. Just download it.
And you guys won't be able to get away from us soon because we will be having our faces on there a little bit more. So.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to have to see these pretty faces pretty soon. All the time. Get ready for that. And our Facebook community is growing, by the way. I can mention Josh Silver. He's a very active Jason. Member of the Facebook community. Jason?
Yeah.
Is it Jason?
Yeah, Jason, yeah.
Jason, sorry. I didn't mean to mess up your name.
Sorry.
But I'll call you Josh. It's okay, Jason. We thank you for your input and many others who have input in the page as well. Ray Canada. He's another big guy who inputs a lot of stuff on there. So I'm going to give him a shout out. Thank you, Ray. And a couple others, you know, but we want some more people to get involved in the movement, man. Be a part of the Asylumites.
That's right. Asylumites.
Come on. Like that?
Asylumites. Okay. I like that one. All right. All right, guys. So make sure you do check us out. Here's Asylum.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and you always know the names for the Twitter and the Facebook page.
Instagram at The Heroes Asylum and Twitter at Heroes Asylum. We had to change it. I don't know why. Somebody else has it. I have to work on getting it back. But as always, from Captain Mike and me, get to the Asylum in 2020.
Have a good week, guys. Later.